Christ Church, Branchville, Alabama, presents this podcast of the weekly sermon. If you would like to support our ministry or get a higher quality recording on CD, please contact deacons at christchurchbranchcove.org. Enjoy the sermon.
Sermon text this morning is from Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 4. Verses 1 through 16. Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. Now hear the word of the Lord. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God and our merciful Father in heaven, we praise you for creating us in your image to serve you in this world. We thank you, Father, that though we have sinned against you and fallen short of your glory, you have reconciled us to yourself and your Son, Jesus Christ. And we praise you that Christ, after dying and rising again, ascended to your right hand. And you sent your Spirit to dwell among your people. You gave gifts to men that we could better serve you in this world, living in the newness of life purchased in Christ. We thank you now for the privilege to approach your holy throne, to be taught by you, Father, by your word and your Spirit. Open our ears that we would hear. Open our minds and give us understanding. Open our hearts that we receive your word, your truth, with love. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this Thursday, the church will remember the ascension of our Lord. It will mark 40 days from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 40 days of his appearing to witnesses, validating that he truly, bodily rose from the dead. The Ascension is a significant but underappreciated holiday on the church calendar. We rightly celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus at Christmas and his death and resurrection during Holy Week on Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. But the next two big ones, the next two big Christian holidays, sadly, kind of get swallowed up in the spring season, the busy spring season, with Mother's Day and high school graduations and parties. Now, it is good and right to celebrate our mothers, God blessing us with mothers, blessing us through our mothers, and to celebrate the achievements of our young people academically, the transition to new phases of life. It's good and right for us to do that. But in that, let us not forget the significance of Jesus' ascension to the right hand of the Father and the subsequent holiday of Pentecost. Now, the ascension of Jesus Christ accomplished much. First, Jesus fulfilled the prophecies of the Son of Man ascending to the Father, sitting at his right hand on the throne of God, ruling over all the nations with a rod of iron. Jesus Christ took human flesh into heaven. As a result of his ascension, there is now human DNA on the throne of God. And he continues to rule over heaven and earth. He continues to intercede for us to the Father. And this is only scratching the surface. I could stand here and preach all day on the ascension. I won't, but I could. The ascension of Jesus Christ changed heaven. Human flesh is now in heaven because of the ascension. And his ascension changed earth. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. We, as the redeemed in Jesus Christ, we benefit immensely because of his ascension. Praise God for his glorious plan. Now we hear in our sermon text this morning, Ephesians 4, another blessing of the ascension of Jesus Christ. Verses 8 to 10. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above the heavens that he might fill all things. So the ascension, Jesus ascended. And because he ascended, the Holy Spirit descended to earth, to the church. Remember, he told his disciples before his crucifixion, it is better for you that I go. It is better that I leave you, that the Comforter might come to you. Jesus went up, the Spirit came down. Jesus ascended, the Spirit descended. And in the Spirit's coming upon the church, we, as the church, we now minister with power. We wage war against the evil forces of this world in the power of the Spirit of God. From the oldest to the youngest, we take on the evil one in the name of Jesus Christ and the power of his Holy Spirit. Verse 7, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. To each one of us, grace was given. Even our smallest warriors, the little arrows being sharpened, they have the power to silence the foe and the avenger. And the Spirit does more than that. Praise God. When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts to men. Verse 11, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. We heard from God's word last Lord's Day how Jesus Christ still shepherds us, the church. He shepherds by the Spirit-empowered work of his pastors and his elders. The ordained officers of the church shepherd in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus shepherding through them. And Jesus provides shepherding love through the ministry of the saints. Brothers and sisters, loving, serving one another. Again, in the name of Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus loves the flock for whom he died. To our text this morning, when we consider the shepherding task of those who are set apart for shepherding, those offices in the name of Jesus Christ, we frequently hear of two kinds of leaders, two kinds of pastors and elders. And the choice is put before us, Church of Christ. Would you rather have leaders who are more shepherd leaders? Or leaders who are more theological or scholarly leaders? Shepherd leaders love and care for those in the flock. They aren't afraid to get their hands dirty in ministry. They don't focus too much on doctrine. They're really more interested in just ministering and serving. We have to get down with the people. We have to get with the people and love them, shepherd leaders. Scholar leaders, on the other hand, they're well-read. They study, they learn, they grow. They place a greater focus on the training of the saints. They teach, they prepare. They know their Bibles. They know their theology. You might call them book smart. They know their stuff. So saints, brothers and sisters, what kind of leaders do you want leading this local church? Shepherd leaders or scholar leaders? Think about your present leaders. What would you rather have them focus on? The limited time they have, shepherding or learning and growing? Consider future leaders in this church, those who are growing and maturing. Should they place a primary focus on learning how to shepherd or being more theological? Some of you may be thinking, seems like a false choice, right? Why do we have to choose? One is not better than the other. Both are necessary for leading the church of God. Consider first our good shepherd, Jesus Christ. Was he a shepherd? Absolutely. Did he get his hands dirty in ministry? He loved and he served the people. He showed that he cared. So Jesus exhibited true, perfect shepherding. But in reading the Gospels, did you ever get the sense that Jesus lacked wisdom? Did he demonstrate that God's word wasn't really that big of a deal? That doctrine didn't matter to Jesus? Of course not. Jesus was the personification of doctrine mattering. His doctrine was perfect throughout his earthly ministry. And he lived out his doctrine. So today, in leaders, infallible leaders who aren't Jesus, we might see the abuse or the misuse of one aspect or the other. But that doesn't make that characteristic unimportant. If one abuses shepherding, that doesn't mean shepherding doesn't matter. If leaders give us a bad image of being theological, that doesn't mean theology doesn't matter. Just because we hear of leaders who might be abusive over doctrine, and the rallying cry is, doctrine divides, don't focus on doctrine. Those kind of leaders, they want to fight over everything. Let's just love people. doesn't mean God's word is useless. That doesn't mean that we ought not learn as much as we can about God's word. That doesn't mean we cast aside theology because it's misused or abused. Theology, by definition, is the study of God. One theologian says, theology is the application of God's word for life. That seems pretty important. When we talk about setting aside doctrine just to love people, let's just love people in the name of Jesus Christ, doesn't that raise questions? Who is this Jesus of whom you speak? What is love? What does it look like? What is the purpose of that love? Now we're into doctrine. On the other side, just because in cases doctrine divides, the people who say such things, they seem to be avoiding a fight. Just because loving people has become a misused or abused cliche in the church, that doesn't mean that shepherding love, shepherding ministry, getting your hands dirty, just loving people, that doesn't mean that's wrong either. Ministering and serving and suffering with people is imaging Jesus. It is bringing Christ to one another. So again, the choice put before you, I hope, you thought that's a false choice. We don't have to pick and choose. You don't avoid the ditch on one side of the road by steering to the ditch on the other side of the road. Your leaders ought to be shepherds, serving and dying for the people. And they ought to be studying their Bible. They ought to be growing in their understanding of theology. We need both in our leaders. So, last Lord's Day, we heard why shepherding is important. Today, why is the second important? Why do you, the Church of Christ, need knowledgeable and wise leaders in the church? Why ought pastors and elders of the Church of Jesus Christ be wise? Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. Christ, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying, for the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The leaders of the church need to grow up and need to be wise, because the church needs to grow up and be wise. The leaders image godly shepherding so you can provide shepherding love to one another. The leaders, the pastors, and elders learn and grow in wisdom and maturity to train up each disciple in the church. So the leaders are shepherds to teach you how to shepherd, how to love, how to serve. The leaders grow in wisdom and maturity to teach you, to train you up, so you be mature. You want wise and mature leaders because you need to be wise and mature in Christ. You didn't get the Holy Spirit for nothing. So grow up. Let's grow up, church. Grow up in Christ. Now, we love the idea of having childlike faith. People can come to the Church of Jesus Christ from all walks of life and all stages of life. You can be an infant and be a Christian. You can come to Jesus in your 90s and be a Christian. To enter the kingdom of God, you need to have faith like a child. If I'm 9 years old, I need to have faith like a child. If I'm in my 50s, I need to have faith like a child. But we don't stay children in the faith. We don't stay immature. We need to grow up. Again, verses 13 and 14. Till we all come, we grow up till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to a full man, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children. No longer children. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. No longer children. Grow up. Now, we expect this in other areas of life. We teach and expect our children. We teach and expect students to learn and grow. I can't be stuck on basic addition in mathematics. I need to learn more. I can't be 18 years old after years of schooling and still be stuck on 1 plus 1 equals 2. I need to have moved on. I need to learn more. Think about your professions. Would you hire a practicing lawyer who is still stuck on basic logic? Scientists who still are working out the different classes of animals, birds and mammals and reptiles. Police officers who are still stuck on red means stop, green means go. Doesn't enlist a lot of confidence. You grow up. You learn, you mature, you grow in wisdom. The Church of Jesus Christ rightly exalts childlike faith. But we don't exalt childishness in the faith. From Hebrews 5, 12 to 14, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, Hebrew Christians, you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk, not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The recipients of this letter were being rebuked. They should have been more mature. The Hebrew Christians had the oracles of faith. They were God's covenant people, but they were children. Children in understanding. They should have been ready for thick, solid theological teaching, but they're still struggling with the basics. There are still babes. There are still children. If I am a Christian, I learn and grow in my knowledge and understanding of the faith. I move past the basics. I move past we believe in one God and three persons. It's true. It's glorious. It's foundational to our faith. But if that's all I know about the Christian faith, I'm not growing. We have one book, the Bible. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Great and glorious truths. But let's move past. Let's grow up. I grow in wisdom. I grow in knowledge. And I grow in maturity. Jesus Christ gives us blessings, some that never change. For example, the glorious blessing of justification. It never changes. You've already heard this morning, you are justified in Christ. You are forgiven, righteous, not in and of ourselves, but in Jesus. You are righteous before God. Praise God before that. We can stand before God and he says, you are just because of the work of Jesus Christ. And we are righteous in Christ today. We are righteous in Christ tomorrow. We are righteous in Christ next year. We can't become more just. We can't become more righteous. That blessing does not change. But there are some blessings in Jesus that do change. They do increase over time by the grace of the Holy Spirit. The example? Sanctification. What is sanctification? It's becoming more and more like Jesus. We grow in this. As Christian, we should be more sanctified year 5 of our faith than we were in year 1. We should become more like Jesus in year 10 than we were in year 5. You grow. The work of the Spirit increases our spiritual maturity and wisdom. And these are blessings that Jesus gives us, his church. They are blessings that the Spirit works out in us over time. We might not experience them right away, being children of the faith. We don't expect brand new Christians to be wise right away. You don't have a new believer come in and say, hey, we have an open seat for elder. It takes time. It takes experience. It takes seasoning. Hair that turns gray over time. But this doesn't just happen. You don't just put in your time and one day you're mature. One day you're wise. You need to minister. You need to serve. You need to suffer shepherding with brothers and sisters. You need to get calloused knees from hours of prayer. You need to spend many hours with the saints of Christ worshiping our Lord. And you need to spend many hours in the Word. It takes time. It takes the Spirit working. But what does the Spirit say in the book of Proverbs about wisdom? Get it. Get wisdom. Go get it, church. Get wisdom. Grow up, mature. You have the Holy Spirit. God's not asking you to do something you can do on your own. He has blessed you with the Holy Spirit. Jesus sent him down for just this work. You can be wise in Christ. You can be mature as the church. And he's given you godly leaders, pastors, teachers, elders, for this purpose. Now, the alternative to not growing up, not being wise, it's right out. It's not an option. Verse 14, we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. We can't be immature. We can't be childish in the faith. We have to be wise. The faithfulness of the church depends on our growing up. Will there be wiser Christians than others? Absolutely. Of course. We want that. We want godly and wise men and women with gray hair who've gone before us. We want years of wisdom and experience passed down to the next generation. We want to look around and say, with all respect, teach me, old man. Impart wisdom to me. Give me your wisdom, mom, grandma, teach me. And the older generation wants the younger generation to take that wisdom and build on it. Be smarter, be wiser, build and build on each other's shoulders. Older saints here, do you get the feeling that the world is becoming more and more complicated than when you were children, when you were younger? It's true, there's nothing new under the sun. There's still sin, there's still righteousness and holiness. But it is becoming more complicated. That's not a coincidence. Consider, go back 100 years. Consider the warfare in World War I. World War II. How about during the Cold War? How things changed. And how they're different today. Cyber warfare. Think of the influence of technology on our children. The world is getting more complicated. Mankind is getting smarter. mankind, apart from Christ, still practices trickery in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So if the world is becoming smarter, it's still wicked apart from Jesus. We need to be smarter. We need to be wiser. We need to be gentle as doves, childlike faith, but wise as serpents, not childish. We need to do ministry. We can't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, any crazy teaching. We need to know what we believe as the Church of Christ, know the basics, and grow. Grow in wisdom, grow in knowledge, grow in maturity. The serpent is still crafty. He tempts and he deceives. We have to know his game. That's our battle. And we take every thought captive in obedience to Jesus Christ. So again, be wise, church, be mature. Grow up. And in doing so, together, with leaders leading, disciples being discipled. Okay, we are disciples, so we must be discipled. We become more like Jesus. That comes out three times in this passage. Verse 13, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to a full man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We become more like Jesus. Verses 15 and 16, speaking in the truth and love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Grow up to be like Jesus. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Church of Jesus Christ, you get wise. I get wise. We be discipled. We become more like Jesus. We serve together. A church can't just function on just the pastor studying, or just the elders reading their Bible. We need all parts of the body growing and working and serving. And God blesses that. He blesses a church where all the body parts are growing up. You can venture into a gym, a weightlifting gym, and occasionally you'll find guys who just want to do upper body, just want to work on the chest, the biceps, these huge, incredible Hulk-like torsos and shoulders and arms, but from the waist down, chicken legs. Doesn't match up. Have you ever had a body part in a cast? Broken arm, broken leg, you take the cast off, you look at one leg and one leg is normal, maybe a little bit stronger from doing extra work, but the other leg has atrophied. It's skinny. No strength there. So what do we need to do? We need to work it back up. Get that muscle back. Imagine a church where you have parts moving, parts growing, but one part of the body isn't. Is that imaging Christ? To have an atrophied body part? When we talk about theology, talk about scholarly wisdom, this is not simply an academic exercise. The church is more than an institute of higher learning. We are an institution, but we are also a body, the body of Christ on earth. He is reigning in heaven. He is head over all, but he's ruling and reigning through us as church. He is serving through his church. And in obedience to our call to fulfill the Great Commission, we are making disciples for Jesus' sake. The church teaches, the church trains, and it starts at the top with the leadership. The leaders learn and grow. They set the example. And then they teach and train future leaders, future teachers. As disciples, we have the blessed responsibility to be disciples. We have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit illuminates us to understand what God has given to us here. I read Ephesians 4 earlier. It made sense to you because of the Spirit. And if it didn't, if it sounded like want, the Spirit didn't give us illumination. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to search it out. All things are yours in Christ, church. The earth belongs to you. Jesus purchased it for us. So in your study, in your growth, in your becoming more and more mature in Jesus, take hold of these blessings. You can learn. You can grow. You can grow in wisdom. Dig into the depths of the riches of knowledge and wisdom that we have in Christ and His Word. And search out the glories that God has revealed in creation. Grow in wisdom to understand, how do we engage with the world as the Church of Jesus Christ? How do we evangelize? How do we defend our faith? How do we teach the faith? How do we pass down what we have learned to the next generation? And then equip them to pass it down to the next generation after that. So the church can build. The church can grow. And again, as we do this, as we grow up, we become more and more like Jesus Christ. God is conforming us into the image of Jesus, the image of His Son. And it's not simply academics. We are called to love God with all of our minds. So do that. Verse 16, from whom Christ, the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. As our knowledge increases, our hearts increase. We learn more about God in order to love Him more. Just like a marriage. You ought to increase in your love for your spouse every day, every year. I ought to love my wife today more than I did yesterday. More after 10 years of marriage than the first year of marriage. Because we learn more about each other. In marriage, we know each other better. So know God more, so you can love God more. Learn more how to love Him, so you can serve Him more. And the church's leaders train you to grow you up to better love God and to better serve Him for service, for works of ministry. Not simply for academics, not just memorizing facts about God. Grow in love and in service in your relationship with the Lord and service to His church. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, our God and merciful Father in heaven, You are gracious to call us into Your house this day, to call us out of the world to commune with You, to teach us from Your Word. We praise You, Father. And we praise You for the work of Your Son, Jesus Christ, who rose to Your right hand, to whom You've given all authority in heaven and on earth to rule over the nations with the rod of iron. We praise You, Father. And we praise You for the ruling of Christ through us, and that You have not left us alone to figure this out on our own, that we do not function of our own strength of the flesh, but Your Spirit works in us and through us. And we thank You for the privilege to learn Your Word and to grow. So, Father, as we come to Your table to commune with the true and the living God, we pray that through the sacrament You will seal what we have heard, that we will take hold of it by the faith that You've given us. You'll bless us through it, and You'll grow us to be more mature, to be like Your Son, Jesus. In whose name we pray. Amen.
If you would like to support our ministry, or get a higher quality recording on CD, please contact Deacons at Christ Church, Branch Cove.org.